Okay, well, let's give Jesus a bigger hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. It's a joy to be in the will of God. And you guys are there. You're in the center of God's will. And what I loved what Daniel said about, you know, God is thankful. And do you know what I hear him saying over you today? Is thank you. I hear him telling me to tell you thank you. Thank you for obeying me. Thank you for following me. Thank you for submitting to me. Thank you for yielding to me. Thank you for leaving, you know, things behind and following me with your whole heart. God's pleasure is over you, and he's telling me to tell you thank you. How many of you have received that? Amen. Praise God. So, you know, in life, we typically have 3 to 5 close inner circle friends, and, you know, a friend that's closer than a brother, and I consider Daniel one of those. Just really appreciate you, brother. We've laughed together, cried together, counseled together. Our love has waxed warm toward one another. we've had lots more good times than, but it's just been a joy to be in relationship with you and Tracy, Daniel. We just count you some of our closest friends and are just thankful for what God's doing in and through your lives. And what I'm hearing the Lord say over you is that your best days are really ahead of you, not behind you. The song, "The Best Is Yet to Come," is yours. And this is a season of harvest where you're going to see a lot of sons and daughters that you guys have raised up. They're going to start bearing fruit. Some of them are going to surpass you in terms of recognition and accomplishment and everything. But you and Tracy have fruit in that. And that your reward's going beyond you. It's going to your reward's living beyond your lifetime. But this season is going to be a great season of joy, great season of fruitfulness. And I just see, I know you have been traveling, but I see you traveling some and just being a blessing to the body of Christ, but identifying more sons and daughters and God raising up more sons and daughters through you guys. So we speak blessings over Daniel and Tracy and over their healing ministry, worship ministry, teaching ministry. And God's downloading fresh revelation to you, Daniel. There are things that you know, and God's going to build on that, but there are other things that the body of Christ needs. There are new things. Then there's a refreshing of old things that you're going to bring out of your treasure, new things and old. It's going to bless the body of Christ that people all over this land and internationally need it. And they need you. And so we speak health and strength and life over you and Tracy and over this season of your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, God birthed a healing school or healing now through Daniel. And it was in Andrew's heart, but it was Daniel has carried that and represented Andrew very well. And so that thank you's for you too, sir. Praise God. Love you, brother. Hey, I've got a couple of books I want to give away. This is my book called Your Healing Door, and I'm actually going to be teaching some out of this book today. But the premise of this book is that healing is the will of God for everyone, every time, all the time. And that doesn't mean it's not automatic. Not everybody receives it, okay? But it is the will of God. Here's the point, and I'm going to share a lot of this today. The reason I wrote this book is because what I discovered is that though healing is the will of God for everyone, every time, all the time, God doesn't use the same method to deliver healing to you. Now it's already you already have it, but the delivery of the manifestation of it is different. It comes in different ways, and that's what this book is about. There's lots of different ways to receive, and there's no bad way to receive healing. Amen. So who is brand new on campus? Okay, brother, way in the back, you lifted your hand up. You have kind of reddish brown hair. Yeah, come on up here quick. I want to give that to you. All right, and then who struggled? What's your name?
Matt.
Hey, Matt. Okay, you're gonna read that, and you go out and preach it, brother.
Okay.
And lay hands on the sick. And okay. Amen? Praise God. All right, who struggled with some kind of chronic illness? And you haven't seen breakthrough yet. All right, sister, right there in the center, if somebody can go back and get that to her, would you do that? She's right there in the center, okay? And you'll have to kind of go all the way back. She's got her hand up in the blue shirt there. All right, praise God. Okay, so I'm going to, I'm really excited about today's message. I just love the Holy Ghost, and He's got good things for us. Amen? So before I share, I want to tell you a funny. Is that okay?
Yes.
I've got a brand new book called A Merry Heart, and it's 130 clean jokes that really are funny. And because a merry heart does good like a medicine. And you know it, I used to live in Houston, Texas, and I visited several people in MD Anderson Hospital, which is a famous cancer hospital. Do you know they have an entire ward there that they show Laurel and Hardy and Abbott and Costello movies and comedy? Did you know that? You didn't know that? See, even the world has recognized that if you can make people laugh, it releases healing. Amen. So I've got a funny for you here. It's called the High School Reunion. So have you ever been guilty of looking at someone your own age and thinking, surely I can't be that old? My wife and I were in this 55 plus community, and we were having lunch there or dinner at the and this couple, two couples, and they looked really old. And Janice and I are sitting there thinking, you know, we don't belong here, right? And then we heard them talking to one another, and one of the couples is younger than us. Anyway, so you'll love this one if you've ever done that. My name is Alice Smith, and I was sitting in the waiting room for my first appointment with a new dentist, and I noticed his DDS diploma, which showed his full name. And suddenly I remembered a tall, handsome, dark-haired boy with the same name who had been in my high school class some 40 years ago. Could this be the same guy that I had a secret crush on way back then? Upon seeing him, however, I quickly discarded any such thought. This balding, gray-haired man with deeply lined face was way too old to have been my classmate. After he examined my teeth, I asked him if he had attended Morgan Park High School. Yes, he said, yes, I did. I'm a Mustang. He beamed with pride. When did you graduate? I asked. He answered, in 1975. Why do you ask? She said, well, you were in my class. And he looked at me closely. Then that ugly, fat, bald, wrinkled, decrepit old dentist had the audacity to ask me, what subject did you teach? You'll get it tomorrow sometime. That's funny, man. That is so funny. Praise God. Oh, I resemble that remark. Oh, man. It is funny. Okay, so what I want to, I have a long title, but it's powerful. I want to talk to you today about healing is not a formula. It's the fruit of your relationship with God. Healing is not a formula. It's the fruit of your relationship with God. Everybody say that with me. Healing is not a formula. It's the fruit of my relationship with God. So, as I mentioned, healing is the will of God for everyone, every time, all the time. Now, that doesn't mean it's automatic. You have to believe and accept it, and you have to fight against symptoms, and you have to tell the devil what to do and where to go, and you have to believe the word. You have to exalt the truth of the word above the facts that are occurring in your body or whatever you're dealing with, and that's, you know, that's tough. It's easier. It's a lot easier to believe what you see than to believe the word. But if you're going to receive from the Lord, and you're going to receive the will of God for your life every time, all the time, you have to believe the word greater than your natural eyes, right? Or what you're feeling. So I'm going to give you a couple of verses to be the foundation that healing is the will of God for everyone, every time, all the time. It's Luke. And that's not anything new we've taught here, but I want to start with that. So Luke 5, 12 and 13, it says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" So he believed in God's ability to do that, and that's where a lot of the world is today. And guys, look, don't take for granted what you're learning here, and don't attribute to everybody else you come in contact with that they know what you know, because they don't. There's a world out there that has no clue that God's a good God and he wants you well, and it's his will for you to be well every time sickness tries to attack your body, every symptom that comes, every bad doctor's report you get. The first report is not the last report unless you believe it. I said the first report is not the last report unless you believe that first report. I'm not saying deny the symptom that it exists, or deny the doctor's report, or the dentist report, or whatever, the financial report, but you can deny it having final authority in your life. Yes? Faith isn't saying, I don't have pain. Faith is saying, there's pain in my body, I have authority over you, and here's the scripture that I'm using, and I believe this over that pain. And the name of Jesus is above every other name, and which includes pain, and he's exalted his word above his name. That's right. So whenever you use the word, okay, and you don't, what happens is we accept a doctor's prognosis or a symptom that's in our body because it may be serious. We accept that as the final report, and it doesn't have to be. And in fact, Isaiah 53, verse 1, it says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And so the report that we're to believe is the report of the Lord, which is the word of God. And if you want the arm of the Lord manifested or revealed in your life, you have to choose to believe this, okay, above every other report. So this man, he said, I know you can, Jesus. I'm just not sure if you will. And then in verse 13, he put out his hand and he touched him. And Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Everybody say, God is willing. It is God's will for you and me to be well. 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Now, being in health is better than needing healing. Yes? Just as your soul prospers. So look, guys, healing is God's will for you. Just say, that's the will of God. How many of you want to walk in the will of God? Then healing's the will of God for you. I said, it's absolutely the will of God for you. And you have to believe that no matter how long you've been dealing with something. It's the will of God, but it's not automatic, nor is the method or the messenger that God uses to get that healing released to you the same in every case. Now, you know, if you listened at Healing is Here, Daniel's message and Andrew's last message, they just dovetailed that basically you've already got it and we just need to acknowledge it. Yeah. Okay, so that is one method or one means to release the healing that's on the inside of you. Yes? Healing doesn't come from the outside in. Okay, Jesus paid the price. He placed on deposit in your spiritual account, in your born-again spirit, all the healing, all the prosperity, everything that you would need. And all we've got to do is just access it or release it. Yes? One of the ways is to acknowledge it. It's just acknowledge every good thing, Philemon 6. Acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. So that's one way. But guys, there's not just, healing is the will of God, but it's not automatic. It's not going to drop on you like ripe cherries off of a tree. You have to believe it, and you have to fight symptoms and fight the devil and fight your unbelieving mind over it by exalting the truth above the facts. But then you also have to realize that God doesn't always, the delivery system that releases healing from the inside to the outside is not always the same. Now don't look at me like in that unbelieving tone of voice. It's not, the delivery system is not always the same. Now, I will say this, anytime a symptom hits my body that doesn't line up with the word, I'm going to do like Barry. No, no, no. Get out in Jesus' name. I have authority over you. So, you know, I'm taking authority over it, and I'm speaking the word over it. But I'm going to unpack this for you. But what happens is, you know, we hear people teach about different delivery systems that they received that released the healing from the inside out, okay? And then we try to mimic it like a formula. And it just becomes a formula.
That's right.
But healing, guys, is not a formula. It's the fruit of a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's where I see a lot of people miss it. It's just like, let's move it outside of the healing, receiving healing. Let's just talk about somebody believing God for a car, okay? Has anybody here ever believed God for a car? Okay, and then you heard somebody testify, they gave their car away. And then they got a newer car. And if they gave their car away, okay, I've got a car. It may be a junker, but I've got a car. And so you just, You just hear their testimony and you see that method and you, without praying about it, without seeking, you're taking what that person did and then you go out and give your car away and now you're walking or hitchhiking for a while. Because that was inside that person or that man or woman's relationship with God they heard give the car away. That's not the norm. I mean, help somebody make a car payment, maybe, okay? But don't go give your car away unless you know you got a rhema word from God. The same thing is true with healing, is people hear how somebody received and they go try to mimic what that other person did and then they wonder why it's not working for them. Well, the reason it's not working for them or it's not maybe it is working and they just haven't seen the manifestation, but more often than not, they're just trying to mimic what somebody else did. And guys, God doesn't have any grandchildren. He wants a relationship with you. And he will get healing to you every time, but it's not the same every time. So let's think about this. How many of you were here for Healing Is Here? How many of you were at Healing Is Here? Okay. I came to as many as I could. I couldn't make it to every night service, so Carly's and Bill Johnson's, the only ones I missed. Here's some examples, though, of some of the different messages, and I type these messages out. I mean, because I may preach them, I may put another title on it and preach it myself. I've nicked stuff off of Daniel, and he's nicked some stuff off of me, too. So anyway, Andrew taught on the impact of envy and strife on healing. Yeah. Envy and strife can open the door to the enemy to rob you from your healing. Carrie talked about spirit, soul, and body related to healing. Daniel taught about acknowledge the healing you already have. Barry talked about taking authority over and resisting sickness and disease, telling it no. Bill Johnson talked about the gates of praise and the renewed mind in receiving healing. And then Andrew basically taught the same message, a similar message that Daniel did about the revelation, just having a revelation of the resurrection power of Jesus that dwells in you. Now, each of these principles are principles from the Word, and it only takes one word from God, only one revelation from God, and only one principle that God quickens to your heart that will release the healing that already abides on the inside of you to manifest, and boom, you hatch off and are healed. But the issue is, God's jealous over you. He doesn't want you placing more value on somebody else's message where then you're dependent upon following Andrew or Todd White or somebody else around to depend on whether you can get healed or not. He's jealous over you. He doesn't, I mean, he'll get ministry to you through other ministries, praise God, but he doesn't want you dependent on other ministries alone. Those ministries should be pointing you to Jesus and to your own relationship with God where you can seek God and say, you know, Lord, all these things are true. What are you speaking to me? Because it only takes one word, guys. One. That's the premise of my book, Your Healing Door, is that there's a key, a healing key that will unlock a healing door for you through one revelation from God's Word that comes personally from Him to you. Now, that can happen through other people preaching and teaching. That's happened a lot. But I'm not following them around like a cult. They're a cult, or I'm part of their cult, and I'm depending on them to hear from God for me. Look at your neighbor and say, he might just be talking to you. Look at your neighbor on the other side and say, he is talking to me. So one word from God that's quickened to your heart can bring healing to you when you believe it and act on it. Whatever God's speaking to you. God, listen, God is not holding out on you guys. That's the devil, okay? He's not holding out on you. But what happens is people get, they get a case of FOMO. Anybody know what, would you like to know what FOMO, that, I sound now like my grandchildren when they're texting, you know, IDK. I said, what in the world is IDK? I don't know. But I mean, all kinds of these little, TY means thank you. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And so at FOMO, you know what it means? Fear of missing out. And there's so many people that go to conferences because they're afraid they're going to miss out. And they're depending on what other people are, God's revealing to other people, and thank God for what he's revealing to you. I mean, the woman at the well, man, she, God revealed to her, set her free, and she went and preached to her city, and many believed on the Lord because of her word. But then it says later, they came and heard Jesus, and many more believed because of his word. And guys, that's where God's wanting us to grow to. He wants us, healing is easy when you go inside your relationship with God. Instead of making it a formula. What scripture has the Lord quickened to your heart to stand on, to fight the enemy with, and to drive sickness and disease and pain from your body? What verse? I shared this the last time I was in healing now is about, you know, seed, time, and harvest. What seed? What? In the whole Bible is a seed. It's a seed bag, man. It's a whole seed bag of scripture. But which one has God quickened to you? Recently, I was dealing with some symptoms in my body, all right, God, I'm looking to your word, and he's given me Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has already, past tense, made me free from the law of sin and death. And then Romans 8:11, because, it's not if now, it's because the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, who dwells in me, he who raised Christ from the dead also gives life to my mortal body. And then 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God who always leads me into triumph. Man, those verses just have come alive to me. And so what word has God made alive to you? Now it can come through other people, but he's quickened it to you. And what are you doing with that? And if you don't have one, or you don't have a message based on the word that the Lord's made alive to you, I encourage you to take time, meditate on several messages and several healing verses until something comes alive on the inside of your heart, out of your relationship with God. Yes?
Yes.
Listen to messages. If one of them really resonates with you and causes faith and hope to come to you, listen to that thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, and meditate on it and see yourself in it. Yes? Because what happens is, guys, what we allow fear to take over, and then anxiety as a result of that, because we're seeing ourselves, if that symptom runs its full course, worst case scenario, here's where it's going to lead me. And then we begin to see ourselves there. I know when I had cancer years ago, I saw myself, I saw them doing the funeral, I saw myself in the casket, and I saw all of my family accepting the Lord that were not saved. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty noble. Dumb, but noble. And I'm thinking, you know, but then the Lord had to speak to me. He said, son, I'm the one that died for them, not you. I don't need you to die for your family to get saved. Thank you, Jesus. But you see worst case scenario, okay? But listen, meditating on the word helps you to see best case scenario. I'm not staying here. I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live and declare the works of the Lord. The resurrection life of Jesus is working on the inside of me, and it's driving out every evil symptom, everything that the enemy can throw my way. In the meantime, I'm worshiping and praising God, and whatever He leads me to do, that's what I do. And then I hatch off and get well. Amen. And you can too. Yeah. Because I know God loves me. I said, He loves me. Yes. I said, God loves me. Amen. And if I go inside my relationship with Him, Father, You love me. You care about me. How many of you have children? How many of you love those children? How many of you would help within reason? Would you withhold any good thing that they needed to get them help? No. I mean, you'd lay your life down for your children, wouldn't you? Would you? Would you get them whatever they needed if it was a real need in their life, or you want to bless them? I mean, man, my wife and I, we've helped four of our children get cars. Four of our grandchildren get cars. That's awesome. How many of you want to be a blessing? Okay, where did you get that? Where did you get that kind of love? Now, is He less of a parent, a father to you than you are to your children? Are you hearing me? And see, I've got this revelation. God really does love me. And all right, Lord, okay, I'm facing a battle here. Okay, I'm looking to You. My eyes are on You, Father. Now, I'm going to act on what I know. I'm going to take authority over the devil. I'm going to tell him what to do and where to go. I'm going to speak to my body. I'm going to thank God that I already am healed. I'm not trying to get healed. Okay, and I'm going to be praising God, but then I'm going to look to the Lord. Yes? And for someone here today, the Lord's speaking to you to get up and get out and start laying hands on people. I said, get up and get out and start laying hands on people. Give healing away. Yes? That, you know, that's what I know you've heard me say this, but I'm going to say it again. It's my message. So that's what happened with my son, Michael. Michael today is the senior producer for Andrew Womack's television program. Andrew used to come to my church every year for about 20 years. And he took interest in my children. He asked what Michael was doing when he was in college. He said, I'm studying radio, television, film. He said, really? He said, well, when you graduate, call me. I'll give you a job. So he did. And Michael started as an editor almost 20 years ago. And now he produces Andrew's program. So Michael, when he was 15 months old, came down with a muscular arthritic condition where all of his joints swelled up twice their size. He couldn't crawl. He stopped crawling and he was almost walking. He couldn't walk. He couldn't crawl. He was in excruciating pain. The doctors had no cure for him. They said he would never, if this disease progressed, he would never walk. And he wouldn't live past 10 years old. And so we just quoted scriptures over him, but at first, what happened? Let me just back up, and say this, okay? So, do you remember what Audrey Mack taught on Friday night of Healing Is Here? basically the will of God is always the same, but the strategy in receiving it is not the same. And so before Michael was sick, a year before is when I had cancer. And there was a growth that came up in my neck. And when the doctor examined it, it was about golf ball size. He let out a four-letter expletive, which is not good. They removed the growth, and they said, we got the puppy, we need to go get the mama. They said it was thyroid cancer. They didn't know how aggressive it was. And he said, we don't know, we're gonna take your thyroid out, we don't know if we can save your voice box. So, you know, you pray. You seek God, which is what we need to do anyway. I went inside my relationship with the Lord and I said, well, Father, I'd just been filled with the Spirit a year. And I said, well, Father, I know you it's your will to heal me. I didn't know everything I know now. I didn't know I already had it, okay? I was trying to get it, and I didn't know that then. But then he spoke to me. He said, I want you to go. See, the Lord will meet you where you're at. He'll meet you right, and I'm talking to someone who's watching online, the Lord will meet you right where you're at. He's not going to punish you for ignorance of the word or your gross place in the Lord. He's going to meet you right, and he met me right where I was. He said, here's what I want you to do. I prayed. What a novel thought. I just begin to seek the Lord. All right, Father, this is what the doctors are saying, but my body belongs to you. My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Aunt Daniel got that, doing that MRI, you know. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So my body's a temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So it belongs to you. It belongs to my wife.
Yep.
So would you show me what I need to do? Am I supposed to have this surgery? What am I supposed to do? And I clearly heard, and I wasn't even that much aware of gifts of the Spirit then, but I clearly heard a word of wisdom. It was almost audible. Go have these three men, specifically named them, go have these three men pray for you. The cancer will die, the devil will leave, and you'll be healed.
Amen.
That's what I heard. So I went to those three men. I thought they were going to kind of wave. I didn't know if they were super dupers. They were going to wave a spiritual wand over me, cast a spirit of infirmity out of me. I don't know what they're going to do. But I went to the three men, okay, and they helped me deal with things in my heart. That's what happened. Then I went to the clinic across from MD Anderson Hospital. They did this test on me. Just the surgeon was sending me to know how to better operate. That's what he said. So I went and they did these tests. You had to swallow this stuff and then you couldn't swallow for 3 minutes. Try not swallowing for 3 minutes. I botched a bunch of tests anyway. So when the test came back 3 days later, I went back and the nurse was looking at it, shaking her head. I got to go talk to the doctor about this. I said, well, I'm going to take that as a good sign. And the doctor came back in. He said, why did Dr. Durham at Heights Hospital in Houston, Texas, send you over here? You don't have any cancer in your body.
Amen.
Amen. So I was gloating a little bit. Okay, I was prideful. And I went back to Dr. Durham and I said, man, I told you, I told him, I said, I know the Lord's gonna heal me.
Amen.
I didn't know he already had. I didn't have that revelation then. I know the Lord's gonna heal me. And he said, well, son, I'm a Christian too, but God's not going to heal you. Anyway, I went back and look at this report, doctor. He said, well, I can't deny it, but he said, we need to go ahead and take your thyroid out just to be safe. I said, that's like taking my heart out to see if it's beating. No thanks. And so a year later, I wanted to give you that benefit of that. Then a year later, when Michael got sick, guess what we did? We went to the three men to pray for Michael. And guess what happened? Zero, zilch, nada. Okay, why? Because that's not what the Lord, that was his word of wisdom. That was the method that he used. That was the delivery method he used in that situation. So what do you do? What should we do? Healing is not a formula. It's the fruit of relationship. So what do? We go inside our relationship with God and start seeking him, start praising him. Now I praise him because I know I've already got it. And I'm not even seeking him about something I have to do. I'm just seeking him who is the healer. And here's what the doctor said. Here's what's going on in my body or my son's body at the time. So Lord, what do you want us to do? And this time I heard, I want you to find scriptures on healing, on the authority of the believer, on the integrity of my word, and I want you to find them, and I want you to immerse yourself in my word and speak those over Michael every day. Amen. And we found 70 scriptures. There's nothing magical about the number. That's just how many we found. And we quoted them over Michael, put them on a cassette tape, and in Michael's room, we played it 24/7. In our room, we played it 24/7. And we quoted those over Michael. It is written. It is written. It is written again. And we just kept quoting those. In fact, you can go on my website, gregmoore.com, and you can. And I've got it's a free download. It's got music behind it. It's got those same 70 scriptures that we quoted over Michael. And after 2 months, one of those verses leapt off of the page into our hearts. And remember, it only takes one word, Psalm 119, 89 and 90. It doesn't even sound like a healing verse. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness is unto Michael. We sang about his faithfulness. Your faithfulness is unto Michael and his generation. We put Michael's name in there. And Michael smiled for the first time in 2 months. And Janice saw a vision of Michael running around the corner saying, "Mama, Mama, Mama." Now, while I was healed instantly, okay, supernaturally instantly, it took several months, weeks and months, but a month later, Michael crawled. 3 months later, he walked. A year later, he ran. And about a year plus, he ran around the corner saying, "Mama, Mama, Mama." Okay, now it took longer, and I would rather have the instantaneous, but the bottom line is we just sought the Lord and he downloaded that to us. Yes? So guys, that's what this book is about. This book is about, I've got several different examples of different principles. Now I already shared what happened at Healing is Here. Different principles they shared. Here's one: according to your faith. Jesus took it for us. Here's another one: it's your move. A lot of us are waiting on God to move, and we need to move. Here's another one: you're loved. Examine your heart. Sometimes there is judgment or unforgiveness in your heart that can stop the enemy, can stop healing from flowing. See yourself well. Aggressive faith. Exalt the truth over the facts. Surround yourself with faith builders. Hear and be healed. Dealing with counterattacks. This will help you. I mean, these, and I give real life examples about if people will seek the Lord, he'll download to them the delivery system that's going to release the healing that's on the inside of you so that it'll manifest in your mortal body. Are you hearing me? But God, I love, God set it up, guys. He set this up where we have to stay dependent upon him. It's not just us memorizing a bunch of principles. Are you hearing me? Okay. So let me see what I want to, look at Joshua chapter five. I want to do a couple of examples here. Is this helping anybody? Joshua 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Who was this commander of the Lord's host? Who was that? It was pre-incarnate Jesus. Had to be, because he received worship. If it was just an angel would have told him, "Get up."
Yeah, that's good.
Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, what did he tell him to do? What did he tell? See, what was Joshua doing? Joshua was doing a pre-dawn reconnaissance mission at Jericho, because they heard from God about how to cross the Red Sea on dry ground, but now they've got insurmountable walls and they've got to defeat Jericho, but how do I do it? What's the strategy? And so what did the commander of the Lord's host tell Joshua, who was seeking for strategy? Get out of your shoes. And that's exactly what he's telling you and I to do. Get out of our pre-planned steps of what we think is the way God's going to use as a delivery system. Are you hearing me? And then God downloaded to him, walk around a crazy strategy. I want you to walk around the walls for 6 days and don't say a word. And then on the seventh day, seven times, and then shout, and the walls fell down. And guys, if you'll seek God, he'll give you strategy, and your walls will fall down too. And then Audrey used this example. I'm not going to turn there, but in 2 Samuel 5, you can look at it later, in 2 Samuel 5, 17 through 25. David had just taken over, he just became king of all Israel. And the Philistines were shaking in their boots. They came out against David, and David inquired of the Lord. Everybody say, inquired of the Lord. That means he sought the Lord. And then the Lord, he said, "Should we go out against them?" And the Lord said, "Go." And they won the battle. Then the Philistines got kind of bold again and came against him again a second time. And you can read it in 2 Samuel 5, 17 through 25. And David inquired of the Lord. See, David could have said, "Hey, man, last time we went out, so that's what we're going to do again." But this time he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, "No, don't want you to go out. I want you to go around and behind them and come out by the mulberry trees. And I want you to surprise them." Everybody say, different strategy. But it brought victory. Are you hearing me? Guys, we don't win our battles in our own strength or our own power or just by logging healing verses in our brains or just following what somebody else did. Zechariah 4, verse 6, Zerubbabel had been, just look over there, Zechariah, that's right before Malachi. Right before Malachi. Some people have heard somebody say Malachi. That was awesome. So Zechariah was speaking to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel had tried to build the temple or the walls, rebuild the city. And for 13 years, he'd been trying to build it. And then he had strife with the people. He had low resources, all kinds of problems. Momentum had left after 13 years. And so Zechariah speaks to him, or the angel who talked with him said, he answered verse 6, he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain?" The mountain that said, you're not going to make it, you're not going to do it, you're not going to finish it. Before Zerubbabel, you'll become a plain, and he'll bring forth the capstone, that means the finishing stone, with shouts of grace, grace to it. Guys, our reinforcement of the devil's defeat, that Jesus defeated the devil in our lives, in every battle we face, is a result of grace, grace, and more grace. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by education, it's not by memory. It's by you depending on the Lord and knowing that He's got a strategy every time that will defeat the devil and send him packing. And this test will turn out to a testimony. Your test will turn out to a testimony. I was in Florida. I thought I had food poisoning. It turns out it was double pneumonia and sepsis. And my wife heard, "Take him to the hospital." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I had 105 fever anyway. I went there, and it's double pneumonia and sepsis. And I told Janice, I said, "Now, if Andrew calls, don't give him a bunch of detail. Just tell him, you know, hey, we're fine, and I'm going to get through this." But Andrew wanted to know all the detail. And then he said, "I'm going to pray for you. Pray for Greg with you right now, Janice. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. This test is turning out to a testimony. Amen." That was his prayer. That was awesome. And I was supernaturally healed. Are you hearing me? But guys, listen. When we depend on the Lord, He's going to give you grace for every battle. He's going to show you what to do. Yes? But the key that you used that brought you healing in the last battle may not be the one that He will lead you to use in your present battle. That's the point. Are you hearing me? And I'm not going to take a, I'm not going to take, I want to land the plane here, okay? But I want to finish the message. How many of you, give me 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20. I'm not going to take too long. But hearing and healing are connected. Matthew 13, 15, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they've closed, lest they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." Hearing and healing are connected, guys. Luke 5:15, "Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him." Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. It doesn't come by having heard. Faith comes by hearing. So here's my question to you. Those of you who are struggling with, so how many of you are dealing with some symptom in your body, some sickness or disease that's attacked your body? Okay. As you're seeking the Lord, as you're looking to Him in prayer, what are you hearing? Now, if you don't hear anything, just do walk in the light of what you know, and just walk in the light of what Daniel and Andrew taught. I'm acknowledging that every good thing already dwells in me, that I already have healing. Healing's already bought and paid for, and I'm praising you for it, Father. And you kind of add Bill Johnson's message and just start praising God. Okay, but, you know, I shared with you what I heard in my battle with cancer, and I shared with you what we heard in Michael's battle with sickness. But here's some other things that my wife and I have heard. Faith comes by
hearing.
Here's things that in my experience, this is what I've heard different times with my life, Janice's life, my children's lives. And with my oldest son, who had constant ear infections, I heard this: throw the pink bubblegum medicine away. It's not helping him. Now, for parents, that's tough, to throw medicine away that is, you know, could stop the infection, but the Lord said, throw it away. The moment we threw it away, his ear opened up. Now, am I telling everybody to throw medicine away?
No.
No, I'm not. In fact, don't throw it away unless you hear. Another time with one of my children, go take them to the doctor right now. I heard. Faith comes by
hearing.
Go take him to the doctor right now. And we took him to the doctor, and he had double pneumonia. He could. The doctor said he wouldn't have lived past 2 days. He had walking pneumonia. I heard another time one of my children was very sick, very lethargic. Now we've got a hold of the word now, and we're taking authority, and we're doing everything we know. But now we're still seeking the Lord, right? And so I heard, go tell the man in your church who asked you to co-sign for his car loan. Go tell him no and ask him to pray for your son. I heard it. I said, right, Lord, I'm going to go tell him no. Of course, I can't co-sign for him. That's against the word, you know, unless I wanted to give it to him. So I took him, and I went to the church and had my son with me. I said, I can't co-sign for the loan. Will you pray for my son? He said, sure. He prayed for him. Instantly, my son got well, wouldn't start playing. And he was totally lethargic. Are you hearing me? Another time, I don't think I've ever shared this. My youngest son, Jeremiah, who has 4 children and now has a grandchild, makes me a great grandfather. he died in Janice's arms. His eyes rolled back in his head. My son Michael was there. He saw it. He stopped breathing. His eyes rolled back in his head. My youngest son, Jeremiah. He was 2 years old. Janice's mom was there, who was Methodist. Michael was talking about, he reminded me this other day. I totally forgot about it. He said, Dad, you don't want to mess with mom. He said, she said, Jeremiah, you come back in that body in Jesus' name. And his eyes popped open, and her mom. Oh, Jesus. She didn't give a rip. And I got home we didn't have cell phones back then. I got home and we took him to the hospital, and he started playing in the emergency room. But he died, and Janice called him back to life.
Amen.
It was awesome. It's awesome. Everybody say, faith comes.
Faith comes.
By hearing.
By hearing.
Okay, my pastor, John Osteen, Joel's dad, he had a heart attack, and we've landed now. I'm pulling up to the terminal, okay? He had a heart attack in 1975. He heard, faith comes by. He heard, leave the hospital, check yourself out of the hospital, take care of your body, do exercise, and you'll be well. He did, and he was. 11 years later, 1986, he had another heart attack. Everybody say, faith comes by hearing. This time he heard in 1986. They wanted him to have open heart surgery back then. In 1986, he heard, have the surgery. He lived 13 more years. He usually had a conference with all these big speakers. He came after that event. He had all these people, faith people, come against him. And he just had the conference, and I was at that conference. Wendell was there too. And he said, guys, let me tell you why I went and had the surgery. Because faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by vowing not to take medicine or use doctors. And my doctrine is living. I just had a tooth that broke off a week and a half ago or so. And I could have prayed and spent a lot of time. I sought the Lord and it was like, go to the dentist. I went to the dentist. And they were able to put a cap on it and drilled it and put a cap on it. And I'm fine. I know people that have a mouthful of decayed teeth that in the name of the Lord, they're believing God for healing. And I'm not knocking anybody like that, but I'm saying, guys, listen, the same people that'll go to a dentist and get a tooth pulled or filled or something else will make a vow not to go to a doctor or use any medicine. What's this about? It's about, that's pride. Or it can be pride. Now, if the Lord told you not to go. Now look, I very rarely go to a doctor. I'm going to the Lord first. But God's not against doctors and medicine. He's just against being number two in your life. And what I'm doing is I'm just praying and seeking God. If God tells me to go to the doctor or take medicine, I just don't want to get into that system where I'm depending on them. I'm going to depend on the Lord. But guys, we demonize the natural realm. Jesus said that Matthew 4:4, that go look at it. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, right? But by every word of God. But he didn't say man shall not live by bread at all. The same people that won't, I like what Bill Johnson said. I wear glasses so I can see better. I threw mine away and stomped on them. And I endangered everybody I was driving down the street with. So I use hairspray for whatever hair I have left. It's like we demonize the natural realm. Faith doesn't come by not using the natural realm. Faith comes by hearing. What are you hearing? Do you hear me? No pun intended. Amen. Amen. Now let me stop with this, okay? Hebrews 6, verse 1 talks about the fundamental, foundational doctrines of Christ. Okay? Is repentance from dead works. That doesn't mean just sin. It's repentance from anything you trust in besides Jesus. And what's the second one? What's the second one? Faith what?
Towards
faith what?
Towards
toward what?
God.
Faith is not faith in your faith. The doctrine of Jesus' doctrine of faith is not faith towards your faith. It's not even faith toward what you're asking God for.
Right. So good.
Your faith is toward. See, if my faith is toward what I'm asking for, my faith can be diminished if it doesn't happen in the right. You know, my hope is in God. My faith is toward God, and my faith will produce a positive expectation. But I keep my faith toward God. See, it's my relationship with God that produces the manifestation of whatever I'm believing God for. Amen? It's faith toward God. It's not faith in your faith. It's not even faith toward what you're believing God for. Though it's all right to ask God for a new car, for a mate, for a house, for tuition. But my faith in your faith, if it's the doctrine of faith, it's faith toward God. And faith comes by and hearing by the word. And who's speaking that? Who wrote it? And who's speaking it to you? It's your relationship with him, guys. Amen? Healing is not a formula. Healing is the fruit of your relationship with him. And no matter what you're dealing with today, the answer is him. And what's he saying to you? And I'm telling you, what some of you need to do today is stand and speak grace to your mountain. So I may not know what to do, but God and me are a majority over you. Amen? Praise God. If you need healing in your body, just stand up. And those at home, just stand up. If you can stand up, stand up. Just say, Father, I thank you. Jesus is my healer. He already purchased healing for me. It's already deposited in me. I have the healer and the healing. And I'm looking toward you, Father. My faith is in you, Father. And my relationship with you will produce the fruit of healing. In Jesus' name. Now I speak to sickness. I speak to infirmity. I speak to pain. I speak to chronic illness. I speak to that mountain that may have been there a long time. Grace. 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 Be removed. Mountain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I thank you. Just thank him, guys. Just thank him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the grace. And I thank you, Father, that you're speaking to your people because of your love for them. You're downloading in their hearts what they need in Jesus' name. Healing that's on the inside gets released. The delivery system, Father, is released today in Jesus' name. Man, there's the healing power of God, guys. Man, his love is just being poured out because you're depending on him. Just thank him, guys. Father, we thank you. We thank you. You love me, Lord. You love me, Lord. Man, your love produces health in me, Father. And as I seek you, you're going to be speaking to me. So, Father, I thank you that ears are opening up right now. Eyes are seeing. Glaucoma is being healed. Cataracts are being healed. Ringing in the ears is being healed right now in Jesus' name. All types of cancers and growths are being removed in the name of Jesus. Man, there's blood disorders being healed. Praise God. Father, we thank you. The blood of Jesus saturates, and the resurrection life of Jesus saturates every cell of our bodies. There was no sickness in the body of Christ. So I thank you, Lord. We're the body. We're part of the body. And that you're manifesting your healing power in us right now. There's all kinds of funguses and infections that are being healed right now. Praise God. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Father. Endometriosis and pain in the with menstrual cycle is being healed in Jesus' name. Someone's menstrual cycle has just been giving you terrible problems, and God's setting that in order right now. You see, I'm just sharing things I'm hearing that God's healing in the name of Jesus. All you've got to do is believe it. Thank you, Father. There's somebody who's got, I don't know if it's bone cancer, but there's some problem with your bone marrow and your bones. God's bringing healing there in Jesus' name. He's setting you free from bone cancer and all kinds of bone problems and arthritis. Man, pain in all your joints. Man, God's healing that in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name. Now, guys, listen. I've delivered the word to you. Now, you go inside your relationship with God. And you receive whatever he says. He's going to be talking to you. He's going to be revealing himself to you. And, man, then you go give that away. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.